Hello and welcome to South Asia Chat, a podcast series brought to you by the Institute of South Asian Studies at the National University of Singapore. I am Raghav Khatri, research analyst at ISAS, and I will be your host for today's episode. We are thrilled to welcome Dr. Ronojoy Sen, Senior Research Fellow and Research Lead of the Politics, Society and Governance Cluster at ISAS. Dr. Sen will be sharing insights on the upcoming Indian general elections. Welcome, Dr. Sen.
Thank you, Raghav, for having me here.
As the elections draw closer, various events are unfolding in the Indian political landscape. New alliances are being formed, politicians are switching parties, and new claims are emerging every day. Recently, Prime Minister Narendra Modi, in his address to the parliament, said that his Bharatiya Janata Party, the BJP, will win 370 seats in the upcoming general elections. Dr. Sen, in the context of the Prime Minister's statement, which specific regions or states does the BJP anticipate gaining seats compared to the 2019 elections?
Right. First off, we should note that political leaders tend to make exaggerated claims, you know, both to influence the minds of voters, but also to energize party workers. The Prime Minister's statement, however, is unusual in that it was made on the floor of the parliament. We don't usually see that too often. But if you look at the numbers, over 50% of the Bharatiya Janata Party or the BJP's 303 seats in the lower house of the Lok Sabha in 2019 came from the so-called Hindi heartland states, you know, the states where Hindi is spoken, which usually comprises the 10 states of Uttar Pradesh or UP, Bihar, Rajasthan, Chhattisgarh, Jharkhand, Himachal Pradesh, Uttarakhand, Haryana, and also Delhi is sometimes included in that grouping. So if you consider these 10 states which comprise the Hindi heartland, the BJP had actually won 177 seats out of a combined 225 seats in 2019. So which is, you know, as I said, you know, roughly it's actually over 50% of its seat share. This though was a little lower than what it had won in 2014. General elections, where the number was 190. The BJP, however, compensated for these marginal losses by winning 18 seats in West Bengal, the eastern state of West Bengal, which was up 16 seats from 2014, and 8 seats in Odisha, which was up 7 from 2014. So in a sense, you know, the gains in eastern India compensated for the marginal loss in the Hindi heartland. The BJP also, on its own or with allies, won big in Maharashtra and Gujarat, you know, the two western states, which sent a combined 74 MPs to the lower house, as well as in the northeast, which of course sends much smaller numbers. So if you look at the numbers, there is actually not much scope for increase of the BJP's tally, either in northern, which is the Hindi heartland states, or in western India. It's only in eastern states like West Bengal, which sends a pretty big number, 42 MPs, and Orisha, which sends 21, where the BJP can hope to make some gains, increase its tally. But arguably, it has a tough task ahead there, because both the regional parties which are in power in West Bengal and Orisha, the Trinamool Congress and the Biju Janata Dal, respectively, are still fairly strong on its home turf, so it'll be a tough ask for the BJP to make significant gains there. So it's really only the southern states where, except for Karnataka, the BJP has not found much success that it could hope to expand its footprint. So overall, I would say estimates like the one done by the India Today survey fairly recently, which puts the BJP's predicted tally slightly higher than what it won last year at 335 seat, that looks to me more realistic than the Prime Minister's claim of 370 seats.
Interesting that you mentioned the BJP's challenge in southern India. Some opinion polls have shown that the BJP is expected to gain a vote share in South India, particularly in the state of Tamil Nadu. What does this say about the long-term prospects of the BJP in South India?
Right. I've seen some surveys, which have predicted that the BJP is going to make some gains in southern India, which so far has been the only region that has, you know, completely, by and large, rejected the BJP. But I'd still argue that the BJP faces a fairly uphill task in southern India. So if you again, you know, go back to the results in the last elections, 2019, in the four southern states, the BJP had won 29 seats. So a bulk of which, 25 seats, came from Karnataka and four from Telangana. But the party actually drew a blank in the other South Indian states, namely Kerala, Tamil Nadu, and Andhra Pradesh. So you're right, you know, surveys show a marginal increase for the BJP, but arguably not enough for it to make a major dent. Indeed, I would argue that in Karnataka, where the BJP, as I said, won 25 seats, the BJP out of 28 seats overall, the BJP might actually find it difficult to replicate its 2019 performance, you know, given the strong performance of the Congress in the recently held elections in Karnataka, where now the Congress is in power. This, despite the fact that the BJP is planning to fight Karnataka with an alliance with the regional Janata Dal Secular Party. In Tamil Nadu, which you mentioned, the BJP is still very keen on an alliance with the regional AIADMK. But even if that works out and an increase in vote share of either the BJP or the BJP in alliance with the AIADMK, even then the prospects for the BJP do not look too bright. In fact, you know, the India Today survey has predicted that the BJP is actually might even draw a blank in Tamil Nadu. In Andhra Pradesh, and particularly in Telangana, where the BJP had four seats in the last elections, and where actually the BJP's vote share increased quite dramatically in the 2023 assembly elections, the party will look to eke out a few seats. But then again, overall, I don't see the BJP making major gains in South India, despite, you know, South India being very much on the radar of the BJP. This Prime Minister has already made a few trips, particularly in the run-up to the inauguration of the or the consecration of the Ram Temple in Ayodhya, and these visits will continue, and there'll be a lot of focus on South India for the BJP. But I suspect that southern India could still be hostile territory for the BJP, at least in the coming election.
All right, now let's move to North India. North India, the Congress has sealed seat-sharing arrangements with the Samajwadi Party in Uttar Pradesh and Madhya Pradesh, and the Aam Aadmi Party in Delhi, Haryana, Chandigarh, and Gujarat. Do you think that these alliances will bear any fruit, especially considering the fact that the cadres of the Aam Aadmi Party and the Congress have worked against each other in many elections?
You know, the UP pre-election alliance between the Samajwadi Party and the Congress is significant, since at one point it looked like it won't happen. But then, you know, we saw a few days ago that they did manage to seal the alliance. And under the deal, the Congress will contest 17 seats and the Samajwadi Party 63. I would argue it's actually quite a generous deal for the Congress, because the Congress does not really have the kind of presence in UP over the past few elections to merit contesting 17 seats. But I guess the calculation on the Samajwadi Party's part is that it's giving the most of the seats that are it's given to the Congress, these are not traditionally strongholds of the Samajwadi Party, so it probably sees it as a win-win situation. But if you again look back to 2019, the Samajwadi Party had actually only won five seats and around 18% of the vote share, while Congress had actually performed disastrously, winning only one seat and 6% of the vote share. In fact, we even saw, you know, the Congress's Rahul Gandhi not winning in Amethi. He contested in two seats, you know, one in UP and one in Kerala. So he won the Kerala seat but did not win the Amethi seat, which is traditionally seen as a pocket borough for the Congress. So that was the state that the Congress found itself to be in 2019. So the alliance will, you know, will have to make a lot of ground if it wants to seriously compete with the BJP and UP. And the coming days and when the election campaign starts, we will see the kind of energy that there is to the alliance. Of course, there is also the factor of how well the cadre of the two respective parties will work for each other. So, these alliances sometimes look fine on paper, but on the ground, things can become quite sticky. It'll also be interesting to see where the votes of the Bahujan Samaj Party or the BSP, which has been in decline for the last few years, where that vote, the BSP, of course, traditionally gets used to get a lot of the Dalit or the scheduled caste vote. Now, with the BSP not being really a viable player currently, it'll be interesting to see where the traditional vote for the BSP goes to, whether it goes to the BJP or to the SP Congress alliance. The other set of alliances that you mentioned between the Aam Aadmi Party and the Congress is also an interesting one, particularly so in Delhi, where the Aam Aadmi Party is the governing party. But again, if you go back to 2019, the elections saw both parties, in fact, both AAP and the Congress, drawing a blank in the seven Lok Sabha seats in Delhi. And both parties had a combined vote share of 41%, whereas the BJP, which won all seven seats, drew well over 50% of the vote share. So this time around, the alliance might not yield the expected benefits that both parties are expecting, given the 2019 scenario. And one point one needs to make here is that the state election results often do not have a bearing on general elections, on Lok Sabha election. There are various reasons for this, but one of the reasons is that in the last elections, particularly 2014, 2019, the elections have been very much presidential, and Prime Minister Modi has had an outsized influence on the election outcome, which really means that the general election results are quite different in many states from the assembly election results. So that's something to keep in mind in general. And the comments that I made about the AAP Congress alliance in Delhi applies to the other states that you mentioned, Haryana, Chandigarh, Gujarat. Of course, with the caveat that the AAP is a much of a lesser force in these states compared to Delhi. So there, the alliance will probably be on even weaker ground. Although in some of the states, the Aam Aadmi Party is an emerging force. But again, if you stack up the numbers, the alliance is does not look particularly formidable in say states like in Gujarat.
Now let's flip this question and talk about the BJP. In your brief on the ISAS website, you mentioned that several opposition leaders in recent times have joined the BJP. How do you think this will play out during the elections?
Right, this has been a trend that we've seen in the last few elections of party leaders, both of some stature and sometimes even smaller leaders defecting. And mostly the defections have been one way since 2014. The defections have been from other parties to the BJP. And this time around, it's no different. For instance, we saw a very prominent leader and a former chief minister from the Congress Party, Ashok Chavan, switching sides in Maharashtra and joining the BJP. Very recently, over the last few days, we actually saw a few legislators, I think it was probably six of them, in the North Indian state of Himachal Pradesh, cross-voting, that is, not voting for their party during the Rajya Sabha election. So these six legislators were from the ruling Congress in Himachal Pradesh. And of course, subsequently, they've been disqualified by the Congress Party. So we are going to see more instances of this. I could mention more examples, but we could sort of go on. But my sense is that these defections will, of course, play a part in certain pockets, certain constituency. For instance, you know, the defection of Chavan will impact, you know, the area or the region that he comes from. But overall, I don't think this is really going to be a game changer. I think it'll the influence will be limited to, you know, constituencies or at best regions.
Dr. Sen, if opinion polls are to be believed, the BJP looks set to win its third term. Do you think that complacency could affect the BJP during elections?
Yeah, you know, this is a good question. So, you know, we started off the chat with, you know, the Prime Minister's prediction of 370 seats and even saying, you know, along with its allies, it can go beyond 400 seats. You know, that's in fact the BJP's slogan this time, you know, crossing 400 out of the, you know, 543 Lok Sabha seats or lower house seats that are in play. But as I mentioned early on, you know, at least the surveys that have been done, you know, peg the BJP's number slightly lower, maybe 320, 330 odd, which is still, you know, overwhelming majority and, you know, higher number than 2019. So it's not that unexpected for, you know, complacency to set in. And we've seen, you know, in 2004, where we had the very famous Shining India campaign, which did not work for the BJP then under Prime Minister Vajpayee. And in fact, the BJP lost the election, even though it was widely expected to win. Having said that, I don't see any complacency, you know, setting in on the part of the current BJP. And it looks like it's going into election with all seriousness. And the Prime Minister himself, as I mentioned, has already gone into campaign mode, you know, well before the election dates have been announced. So I don't really see, you know, complacency setting in, because the BJP really is a very well-oiled electoral machine. And it has, you know, has had a really good track record since 2014. And we must also remember that the BJP is also by far the most well-funded party in India, you know, despite the recent Supreme Court strictures against the electoral bond scheme. So the combination of, you know, the enormous war chest that the BJP has, along with its well-oiled party machinery, and, you know, it's finally its trump card, namely Prime Minister Narendra Modi, I don't see, you know, complacency setting in on the part of the BJP.
Thank you so much, Dr. Sen, for the wonderful insights.
Thank you, Raghav.
You are listening to South Asia Chat. To learn more about our work, please visit us at isas.nus.edu.sg. You can also get updates from our social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter.